Okay, great. So now we're recording. I've got it on speaker view, and so I will go ahead and introduce this section that we're looking at here. So last month we talked about these first two lines of these verses. Just to review, this is the Shoshinge, which we've been talking about a little bit earlier. We did some chanting of this, and now we're going to talk about the meaning of it. We've been going through line by line here with the Shoshinge, talking about usually somewhere between two to four lines per gathering. So we're going through nice and slow, kind of really soaking in the meaning. As I mentioned in the previous session, the Shoshinge really contains all of the important meaning of the Jodo Shinshu Pure Land Buddhist tradition. And so each verse is packed with meaning. And so what we've been doing is reading through the verses and then looking at what it refers to, what the basis for that verse is. In this case, these verses refer to a section of the larger sutra. So we've been reading through that, and we'll briefly review that section here today, and then we'll talk about these specific words that we have here. And so this section of the Shoshinge, this text that we chant and that we study, talks about the light of the Buddha. So here we have the image of Amida Buddha in the hondo of the temple. We have a statue of the Buddha. You may have, I'm not sure, you could see that. I hope you're able to see that on your screen while we're chanting. When you come, of course, to the temple in person, you can get a better view of that. But so this Amida Buddha is the Buddha of immeasurable light. And so if we look here, we can see all of these rays coming off the Buddha here. And here around the Buddha's head, we have these rays, and those represent the light of the Buddha. There are 48 of them. In the painted portraits, you can see they go all the way to the edge of that main painted section, showing that that light reaches in all directions. On the statues, it's we have these the bars, the golden bars that go off in all directions, representing that light of the Buddha. And so the light is of profound significance in as a kind of a symbol or an expression of the Buddha's wisdom. And so this section of Shoshinge talks in depth about the different aspects of that light. And so later this evening, we'll be kind of going into those again in some depth, exploring, what each of these aspects of the light represents. At this point, I'll just read this section of Shoshinge. Everywhere he casts light immeasurable, boundless, unhindered, unequaled, light lord of all brilliance. Pure light, joyful light, the light of wisdom, light constant, inconceivable, light beyond speaking, light excelling sun and moon, he sends forth, illumining countless worlds. The multitudes of beings all receive the radiance. So this he here is referring to Amida Buddha. And then this section is based upon this portion from the Sutra on the Buddha of Immeasurable Life, which we call the Larger Sutra. The sutras are the sermons of the Buddha. So it can be a little confusing initially, or maybe throughout our lives, we have many Buddhas that we talk about in our tradition. The two main Buddhas that we focus on are Amida Buddha and then Shakyamuni Buddha. And Shakyamuni Buddha was the historical Buddha who lived in India about 2,500 years ago or thereabouts. And so when people in the general, in general, when people talk about the Buddha as a historical figure, the founder of the Buddhist religion, they're referring to Shakyamuni Buddha. And Shakyamuni Buddha, he spent the period of his life from age 35 when he became enlightened until age 80 when we say he passed into final nirvana, and you know, which is to say that he was a human being, so his body died and he experienced death, and then there was so that period of 45 years of his, you know, his human life, he spent teaching the truth to which he had been enlightened, and the sutras are the record of those teachings. And in some of those teachings, Shakyamuni Buddha will then tell the story of other Buddhas. So we've got the Buddha in our world telling us about Buddhas in other worlds as a way of expressing the enlightenment that goes beyond the limitations of our thinking and of this world. So in this section is the Buddha is speaking to, this is Shakyamuni Buddha, the historical Buddha, speaking to Ananda, his cousin, who was also his sort of close companion, his attendant, and who heard all of the teachings and then shared those. And the sutras are actually a record of the things that Ananda heard. So here it says, the Buddha said to Ananda, the majestic radiance of the Buddha of immeasurable life is exalted and supreme. The radiance of other Buddhas cannot compare with it. Some Buddha's light shines upon 100 Buddha lands. Other Buddha's light shines upon 1,000 Buddha lands. Briefly stated, the light of the Buddha of immeasurable life illuminates all the Buddha lands in the eastern quarter, which are as many as the sands of the Ganges. In like manner, it reaches those in the southern, western, northern, and four intermediate quarters, as well as above and below. Some Buddha's light reaches only 7 feet, while that of others reaches 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 yojanas. A yojana is a very long measure of distance. In this way, their light increases incrementally until it illuminates one Buddha land. Okay. And then this section that we're, so this is kind of the introduction, is talking about the Buddha's describing to Ananda this light of Amida Buddha. This Amida Buddha emits this incredibly bright light. And so then we get into this section, this portion here is what we're really focused on in these verses that we're reading. For this reason, the Buddha of immeasurable life is called Buddha of immeasurable light, Buddha of boundless light, Buddha of unhindered light, Buddha of incomparable light, Buddha of light that is Lord of blazing light. And then these are the ones we're going to be talking about this evening. Buddha of the light of purity, Buddha of the light of joy, Buddha of the light of wisdom, Buddha of uninterrupted light, Buddha of inconceivable light, Buddha of inexpressible light, and Buddha of light surpassing the sun and moon. And then it says, sentient beings who encounter this light have their 3 defilements swept away. They become soft and gentle in body and mind. They leap and dance with joy, and the good mind arises in them. When those suffering, pain, and travail in the 3 evil realms see this light, they all find respite and become free of afflictions. After their lives have ended, they will all gain emancipation. Okay. And I put this other sections in here as a reference, but we won't focus on those in too much depth today, although we can refer to them later if we have questions. So this can be kind of overwhelming. Now let's keep in mind, this was originally written in Sanskrit, probably about 2000 years ago. And then was translated into Chinese over 1,500 years ago. And now we have it translated into English. So this is an ancient text. And as such, something kind of is particular when we go from Chinese into English, we're still kind of figuring out how to translate these things. And so I was talking to one of our one of our regular participants in these sessions. This is, a lot of this goes over my head, and that's okay. We can just sort of hear these teachings, hear this, let it let it flow. And I think what we find is that sometimes it returns, comes back to us, and we have moments of insight and appreciation for these teachings. So, I'll invite questions in a little bit, and then we can kind of come back to this. I want to talk about these aspects of the light, and then we'll again close out this kind of public session to go into our off the record open Dharma discussion. So we'll be talking from the light of purity, then down to the light surpassing the sun and moon. And then if you're interested in these other sections of light, we talked about this last month. Again, I can just let me know and I can share with you, the explanation we had from last month on that one. So the light of purity. So pure light. So this is these different aspects of the light express the aspects of, again, the Buddha's wisdom. So it talks about how pure light dispels greed, attachment, and clinging. All right. So these are these are the aspects of one of the three poisons. Right. So we have purity. This pure light is a response to this greed, attachment, and clinging. This clinging to me and mine. Which is one of the three main causes of suffering, greed. And so purity, so we talk about purity in Buddhism, it's not so much the sense of, we think of kind of, clean or dirty. We talk about purity in Buddhism as expressing free from greed, free from attachment. That's what purity, when I talk about the pure land, in Buddhism, it's a world that's free from attachment, free from clinging to me and mine. So the pure light is the aspect of the Buddha's wisdom that dispels greed, attachment, and clinging. Then we have anger. So greed, anger, and ignorance are considered to be the three poisons. So the light of joy, joyful light that dispels anger, aversion, and hatred. And so, if you think about it, right? If you think about it, if you're joyful, it's hard to be angry. You often say, well, you can't stay mad at people, I can't stay mad at this person because they may do something that annoys you, but they also bring you joy. And so that joy dispels the anger. At my house, those of you who listen to my Dharma talks hear about a toddler, my son, who's 2 years old, and being a two-year-old, he's gone from being, purely cute to also having toddler behavior. One of the things that he started doing in the last couple of days is just dumping whatever's in front of him during mealtime. So he'll, my wife will go to all this trouble to put together a plate of food that she thinks he'll want to eat, udon and tofu and orange slices. And he'll look at it, then he'll just dump it upside down, right? And when he does that, it's like, whoa! But then he says in the cutest voice, koboshita. He just declares in Japanese, I dumped it, and it's so kind of, amusing and charming that, that joy kind of dispels the anger that comes up naturally when it's like, what you're doing is not lining up with what I want you to do. And so this shows us that the light of the Buddha's wisdom brings this kind of joy into our hearts. And these times when we get really angry, when we're just kind of going to push something away, where we even sometimes we feel such strong emotions as hatred. But if we can awaken that feeling of joy, then we're able to, that will dispel it. And then finally, the light of wisdom. So again, the light, the Buddha's wisdom is like switching on a light switch. When you're in a dark room, maybe you hear things or you see kind of shapes and you make assumptions about what is or isn't there. And then once the lights come on, you can see, okay, clearly, this is what is here, this is what isn't here. And so The Buddha's wisdom is like that. It shines that light into our minds and helps us to see what is and is not present in any given moment. And then this next aspect is very interesting, the Buddha of uninterrupted light. You know, I think for me, who is a person who is not enlightened yet, I can sometimes, be compassionate, but it's definitely on and off, with me, even with, thinking about my own, my family members, my children, there are times when I'm able to be very patient and compassionate with them, but then other times they do something that really annoys me and that compassion is just gone, right? But that's different from the Buddha's light, the light of the Buddha's wisdom, which is constant and continuous and is not subject to this kind of on and off again whims of the ego. And so through hearing the Buddha's teachings, we're able to kind of tap into that and connect with that in our own lives and find that constancy in the midst of this constantly changing world. The next one that's described is the Buddha of inconceivable light, the idea that the light transcends the limitation of human conceptual thinking. So it's not something that we can grasp and wrap our minds around in a kind of cognitive way. And so it's this recognition that the truth goes beyond words and language. Now, of course, we use language. We have the sutras. We have all these teachings as a kind of a finger pointing to the moon to direct us to that teaching. And so the Dharma helps us to appreciate this truth that goes beyond conceptual thinking. And then this is connected with this next one too, the Buddha of inexpressible light. So the light whose virtues cannot be fully expressed in words. And this is, I think, very significant for us at this point in the history of Buddhism and in our lives, living here in the United States, an English-speaking, place where the Dharma is flourishing, but we're constantly coming up against the limitations of the translations that we use. You know, those of you who perhaps have some familiarity with Buddhist languages like Chinese or Japanese have maybe thought about, you hear a teaching in Japanese and it seems, somehow it maybe resonates a little differently than when you hear it in English. And this is interesting. It kind of goes both ways. In some cases, people feel that the Japanese teaching can really express it suggests the truth without kind of having to pin it down. This is also true of Chinese in my experience, but English is very precise. And I know there's one Japanese Buddhist teacher I know who actually wrote a book using simple English explanations, the kind that we find in Dharma school lessons for Japanese speakers who, read a little bit of English and sort of showed how the English language is able to kind of clearly illuminate with a kind of precision the meaning of the Buddha's teachings. And then finally, the Buddha of light surpassing the sun and the moon. And so even today, I think if we think about it, there's nothing that's brighter than the sun. Like humans have not been able to create something that's brighter than the sun, or even brighter than the moon, which reflects the sun's light. And if you think about it, on a clear night, you could have a street light that lights up one section of the street very brightly, but the moon, even the moon, is lighting up, the entire landscape all around you. And you could walk all night on a clear night and drive in a car all night, fly in an airplane, and you would constantly be illuminated by the light of the moon and the light of the Buddha's wisdom, even brighter than that. So even beyond that ability to illuminate every possible place, you know, in our minds and in our lives. So this was a fairly brisk summary of these sections and these teachings. I'm gonna switch off the recording now, and then I wanna open up for some questions and discussion in the time that remains. We have about an hour for open discussion and conversation, and to really delve into the aspects of this teaching that resonate with you and your life.